not Assyria. Reporting on that conflict has been a challenge. The borders are often difficult to penetrate for journalists. Access to any place, especially those caught up in fighting, is tightly controlled by the Assad government. So getting reliable information out of Aleppo and Damascus, and the smaller villages which have been taken by rebels and then retaken by government troops, is difficult. Lara Satrakian is a former ABC News correspondent who's come up with a new way to try to report the crisis. She's the co-founder of a website called SyriaDeeply.org, a digital media project led by journalists and technologists trying to explore a new model for storytelling. She joins us from New York. Thanks very much for being with us.
Scott, it's a pleasure.
So how do you report the news out of a place that is in many ways closed to the news industry?
Well, the first order of business is to organize what information we have, whether it's tweets, access to some officials, sources on the ground telling us what they know from specific locations, Aleppo, Tartus, Idlib. And what we've done with SyriaDeeply.org is really create space for each kind of information, what's coming to us from social media, what we're doing in the old hard news journalism model, visualizations of members of the regime, members of the opposition, a data map showing the refugee outflows, just taking what information does exist and organizing it better.
Let's offer some illustration if we can. This is a clip of, I believe, you speaking with George Sabra, head of the Syrian National Council, and he's talking about running with his son as a sniper fires.
Running under the eye of a sniper. Every second I expect a bullet in my back or his back, but I prefer to be in my back. 500 meters, it was 50 years, but we survived.
And yet, of course, you realize it must be asked, how do we know to trust that account?
Well, just as well as we could ask anyone to give their personal account of what they've been through, we trust that this is George Sabra's experience. I do put an emphasis, for example, on what are the metrics that we can start to collect where there is less opportunity for manipulation or bias. I want to know, what is the street value of the Syrian pound? What is the price of tomatoes? And when it comes down to those kinds of micro stories, there is less of a margin for distortion than if we're asking a clear activist, what's happening in the battle for Aleppo? How much of the city do the rebels control? I'm very wary of statistics like that. We have to be especially careful.
And may I ask, are you able to talk to people on the government side that might give a different view from what you hear from the government?
We haven't had as easy a time getting answers back from the regime side. That creates an access bias that I know is very relevant. We need to keep an eye on Assad's support base. It's just as much of the story. We just don't hear as much of it.
How is SyriaDeeply.org different than, say, just logging into Twitter or, for that matter, one of the news agency sites that is carrying stories out of Syria?
Well, the mission was foremost to fuse traditional journalism and the new tools of technology and to take pieces like Twitter and say, okay, we may not trust any one tweet that says something about Syria, but collectively, if we pick the right group of people, they have predictive value and they have a track record. These are the tweeps that we've come to trust over 20 months. Great. Put them together, put them in a box, and you have had professional journalists with their standards going through the universe of information and trying to make sense of it and add context to it. And what we hope people walk away with is just a more nuanced experience of the Syria issue, so that when they hear the next radio or television piece, they have something in their minds to go back to, an image of a person, an experience, a visualization of the map, so that they understand how to put it all together themselves.
Is this changing the way we cover civil conflict?
I think it already has. We've gotten amazing feedback. Folks who want us to do North Korea deeply, Congo deeply, cancer deeply. I hope we can expand to all those topics, or at least guide people on how to structure information best, so that we can hopefully at least start to fix the deficit of foreign policy literacy in the United States.
Have you thought about what happens to SyriaDeeply.org if there is a change?
What we've envision from the start is a kind of pop-up store, like a boutique in Lower Manhattan that just pops up as needed. So we imagine that this would stand up, serve well on Syria, follow this story through finality. We do hope to scale to other issues, and we'll know how to do this very fast. We built this in just about 2 months. We can stand up another platform. We can stand up Hurricane Sandy deeply. We can find all sorts of ways to take that template and apply it quickly and deploy to stories that need that kind of organization of information.
Lara Satrakian, co-founder of SyriaDeeply.org. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And you're listening to NPR News.